Time now for Talking Books. Made possible by La Vita Dolce Cafe in Southern Village. Stop by for an afternoon pick-me-up. Enjoy a delicious nitro cold brew coffee or indulge with a new gelato flavor. Their book club is not currently meeting, but they've got their full menu of coffee, gelato, wine, and small plates available for takeout. You can enjoy that with your favorite book from home. Susan Brown heads up the Chapel Hill Public Library just down the road from us, and she joins us today for Talking Books. Susan, it's been a busy day. How are you?
It has been a busy day. And with all of this news and stress and angst, I just want to find a sunny spot, but not outside.
Right.
Like a sunny spot inside in the air conditioning.
Yes.
Near a window and just read a good book, quite frankly.
Just
that's
like
what I want to do right now.
It's like sit outside, but under an awning or something where you get the shade and you've got like cold fans blowing on you from four different directions. Ideally, that's what I'd like.
That would be great. And actually, speaking of spots and windows, I'm actually calling you from the library today. And it's still weird. So this is not a curbside pickup day or a park and pickup day. So my staff is getting some rest and gearing up for the rest of the week. But it's just still weird to be in a library without the people here.
Right.
You know, I just kind of walk around. And after all of these weeks, it just still doesn't feel right. But there are beautiful sunny windows to sit and read by. Not that that's what I did today. I was working for the people of Chapel Hill.
Awesome.
I was not sitting and reading.
No, of course not. Yeah. So what else is going on at the library?
So as I said, Wednesdays and Sundays we take a little break. But the new park and pickup is going great, especially Tuesdays when we're open until 7. And then in other news today, our friends group, who are just amazing, and, you know, they are by our side through all of this, they did another book giveaway today. They partnered with the Food for Students program, formerly known as Food for Summer. And this is the program that was started out of the mayor's office. It is now, I think, coordinated by schools. But it takes food to, gosh, a whole bunch of sites all over town. And so the friends tagged along to, I think, 5 or 6 sites today and took bags of free books to give to kids.
Awesome.
And they had an awesome time.
Yeah.
So they'll be posting some pictures of the volunteers and their work today on their Facebook page. Folks can go check that out. But that was really nice thing they did for kids and families today.
That's really cool. And I've volunteered a couple times with Food for the Summer, not Food for Students this year, but in the past with Food for the Summer, I've had the chance to do that. And like we talk about the food that gets given to the kids and how important that is, but it's just such a fun experience. Like you go there and you're giving the food away, but there's also activities and games and books sometimes that get given away as well. And the kids like that as much as they like the food. It's awesome.
Yeah. And I think in this time also just seeing other people, right? Just having some kind of a human connection with people is also wonderful. So
yeah,
it's a really great program. And this year they've added some things, like they're doing some days they do like fresh produce boxes. And then of course some days it's like sack lunches, but it's an awesome program run by an army of volunteers. So kudos to everybody that works on that.
Speaking with Susan Brown, ChapelHillPublicLibrary.org is the library's website. We are talking books, as we always do every Wednesday, so let's talk books. I didn't really have a specific topic for today, which means we always go back to our favorite kind of backup topic, which is this day in history, and you can always find a ton of stuff that happened on this day in history, right?
Yes, you can, and this day is no different. So I have 3 books, 2 nonfiction, 1 fiction.
All right.
What you got?
I've got 2 books, 1 nonfiction and 1 fiction, and I'm gonna just take a stab in the dark on this because you might disagree with me, but I think that I do not have any huge, giant, nerdy tomes this week. But we'll see. We'll see.
I will be the judge of that, Eric.
All right, you first. What you got?
Okay, so the first book that I wanted to talk about is actually historical fiction. But I know that myself, when people mention historical fiction as a genre, I think, books set centuries ago, right? Mm-hmm. Something from Regency England or the Tudors or the, founding of the country kind of thing. But this is more recent historical fiction. So this day in history, Marilyn Monroe died.
Mm-hmm.
Or she was found dead. And so that made me think of novels about her. And of course, the first one that came to mind is historical fiction by Joyce Carol Oates, one of our great writers in this country. And it is called Blonde. So Blonde came out in, I think, 2000, and it is very much a historical fiction about her life. So the author has said many times it is not meant to be a biography in any means, but she does what Joyce Carol Oates does really well and takes a very fully realized sort of take on Marilyn's life. It's very dark.
Oh, you there? Problem solved. We've got Susan Brown back on the line to continue talking books. You were talking about Marilyn Monroe and Joyce Carol Oates, right?
Yes. So I'm not sure where the call dropped. I just kept on talking and talking and then I realized, but if you like...
She's gone in mid-sentence. I don't know how it happened.
That was weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you like historical fiction, if you like women's lives, if you don't mind reading like kind of things with a dark twist or a dark bent to them, I would recommend Blonde by Joyce Carol Oates.
Awesome. So I was going to ask before we got rudely interrupted, how you're talking about historical fiction, typically a couple centuries ago, and this is more recent. How recent, what's the recency threshold for still being able to call it historical fiction? Like if I wrote a book about that week in March when everything shut down because of coronavirus, like does that count as historical fiction because it was 5 months ago, or does there have to be like a longer time span there?
I mean, that one feels like it was five centuries
ago.
That's a good example.
that's a bad example.
Me, data set of one reader right now, like if a book is set in the 70s or 80s, mm-hmm. I wouldn't feel like it's historical fiction. But when you start to get into the 60s and 50s, for me, that's definitely it.
That's
but
fair.
There are, I'm sure, some readers who feel like historical fiction is more like a century or something.
Right.
I think every reader is different.
It's also like earlier than you can personally remember, right? Something along those lines.
Yeah. Exactly.
I have a Facebook friend who posted the other day that I was talking about the movie Avatar, which came out in 2009. And he was talking about like, oh, I remember going to the movies and seeing that when I was a really young kid. And I was like, you are so young and I am so old and this is so sad.
Right.
That this is happening. All right, so my first one is also historical fiction, but I will go back a little bit further. This day in history, 1861, the Union Army had originally enlisted people for 3 months, and at this point in 1861, they realized the Civil War was going to go longer than that, so the enlistment went from 3 months to 2 years. The following year is the Battle of Baton Rouge. 2 years after that is the Battle of Mobile Bay. And all of this happens on August 5th in history. So with Civil War stuff in mind, I recently read, I guess I read it last year, so 49 years ago, I read a book by George Saunders. And I think we've talked about George Saunders as a great writer of short stories. He finally came out with what I think is his first novel, and it's a historical fiction-ish novel set in the Civil War called Lincoln in the Bardo, which is Lincoln's son has just died, and they've just had the funeral. Lincoln's son is in the cemetery now, and all of the other denizens of the cemetery are basically rising to greet him, and it becomes this... They're all kind of hanging in limbo between life and the afterlife, and Lincoln shows up to grieve for his son, and there's a battle for people's souls that's all going on while Lincoln thinks he's just alone in the cemetery with his thoughts. And it's just a really, really fun, fascinating book from a whole bunch of different perspectives. And George Saunders is just such a great writer. So his first novel is terrific.
Yeah, that's a great one. And I will say for me, like the sort of really highly stylized mm-hmm. books like that and like high concept aren't usually my jam. But I listened to that one on audio, and on it is fantastic because they have this all-star cast of voice actors and just actors doing each voice. And the audiobook is absolutely amazing.
Nice. So that's my first one. What's yours?
So my next one, this day in history, in 1858, the first transatlantic telegraph cable was completed. And that gives me a reason to talk about one of my favorite nonfiction books. I can't remember when this came out. It's been out for a while, but it's called The Victorian Internet, the remarkable story of the telegraph and the 19th century's online pioneers. Mm. And so this is a book about the history of the telegraph. But what's really cool about it, so first of all, it's a nonfiction book that reads like very much like fiction. It's mm-hmm. an easy read. It's not super dense and nerdy, like some people read. but what I love about it is it draws all of these parallels to the internet now and the sea change that happened with the advent of the internet and the same sea change that happened with the advent of the telegraph. So it's a really, really good book. And I think it's actually been through a couple of editions now, but the author is Tom Standage, and the book is called The Victorian Internet.
Awesome. So I'm going to go a little bit more recent for my next one. 1957, this day in history, was the TV debut of American Bandstand, Dick Clark's show that made him famous and made rock and roll famous and really fundamental to just the history of American music. So there's a book by Larry Lemer, I think is how you pronounce his last name, Lemer, called Bandstand Land, How Dancing Teenagers Took Over America and Dick Clark Took Over Rock and Roll. And it's that early history of rock and roll music and the industry behind it and the economics behind it and just like the culture behind it, not just the music, but the way that it was presented and how Dick Clark as an individual and American Bandstand as a show just fits into all of that. And if you love, and I've read so many fun books about like the middle of the 20th century in American history, like such a fascinating time period. And if you love that time period and want to know more about it, this is a good book for that.
Nice. That's not one that I am familiar with, but I definitely remember watching American Bandstand growing up. And then like an hour later, Soul Train came on.
Ooh,
like that was
nice,
the Saturday double feature.
What did you do in between for an hour?
Practice my dance moves.
Okay,
come on.
Cool. All right. As long as you had a plan, that's all that matters.
That's right. So I've got one more book, This Day in History in 1976. It was a major watershed change in sports because the NBA merged with its rival, the ABA.
Yes.
So the National Basketball Association merged with the American Basketball Association. And this was like the sea change moment for the sport. And of course, my older son is super into basketball and all things NBA. And we came across this book recently because we were trying to clean up his room to get ready for school to start and his bookshelves. And this book was on his shelf and he talked about how much he loved it. So the book that I want to recommend is also about a watershed sea change moment for the NBA. And that is The Three-Point Shot. So this book is called Sprawl Ball, A Visual Tour of the New Era of the NBA.
Nice.
And the author is Kurt Goldberry. And it's a very cool visual. It like takes different stats and different plays and really focused on the advent on the adoption of the three-point line and how that changed how we play the game, how people coach the game. And it's a really cool, I mean, it's pretty nerdy. So that would fit the bill for a nerdy book of the day. But it's also visually really cool. So Sprawl Ball, A Visual Tour of the new era of the NBA is my last book.
And find out more from the Chapel Hill Public Library online at their website, chapelhillpubliclibrary.org. Susan Brown, as always, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron.
Now let's keep the conversation going. La Vida Dolce's Shaded Patio is the perfect socially distant spot to enjoy a delicious coffee or a delightful glass of wine while you read a new book or revisit an old favorite. They might have those cool fans going as well. They've got the Shaded Patio at the very least. Today is Wine Down Wednesday at La Vida Dolce, so live music on the patio and half-off bottles of wine. Their staff is following strict safety protocol and ready to give you the fun experience you've been missing. LaVidaDolceCafe.com for their online menu and follow them on social media for weekly specials.